When hard times come our way, we've got three choices. We can let it define us. We can let it destroy us. Or we can let it develop us according to God's purpose and plan. God has a purpose in the pain. He has a design in the difficulty. There's a harvest of the hard times. Welcome to the weekly podcast of Independent Methodist Church in Macon, Mississippi. It is our hope that this message will encourage you, strengthen your faith, and draw you closer to Jesus Christ. This morning we're going to talk about the harvest of hard times. That's the title of our message today. There is not a person in this room or someone who will listen online later that has not had some type of difficult time in your life. Some type of difficulty, some period of hard times. We've all had them. Many of us here today have either had to deal with tremendous grief of the loss of a parent or a grandparent, loss of a spouse. Some have maybe even lost children or grandchildren, and it's tremendous grief and hard times there. Almost every one of us have had a broken heart at some point in our lives. Some have dealt with physical illnesses and mental illnesses. And some have dealt with financial difficulties. And all of those bear a real, true pain. There's nothing false about the pain that we endure when we have some of those things come into our lives. As difficult as it is sometimes for us to understand and to remember, each and every hardship, all those hard times, have a purpose by God. They have a purpose to strengthen us and to prepare us for what's coming next in our life. Sometimes it's hard for us to see that, though, at the time. There was an entomology student, a student that studied insects. And he was walking through the woods and he found a little cocoon and it was an emperor moth cocoon, and so he took it. He thought, I want to see this majestic moth hatch out of this cocoon. So he took it, and he watched it really intently for several days. Finally, one morning, he looked, and he noticed a little crack, a little split in the cocoon, and so he watched it very closely that day as that moth began to try to split that cocoon open and strain and stretch. Finally, about lunchtime, he got tired of waiting. He said, I'm going to help him out a little bit. So he took a razor blade and he went ahead and split the cocoon the rest of the way down. And he watched as that majestic moth flopped out and weakly flapped his wings and then collapsed and died. See, what he didn't realize was God had a purpose for that strain and that stress that moth would have to endure to get out of that cocoon, to prepare him for what lied ahead. And he took the shortcut to let the moth out, and the moth didn't grow and strengthen like he could have if he had just left it alone. We live in a society today that wants to take the shortcut in just about everything. Y'all remember the days of we all had dial-up internet, and we thought that was great. And nowadays, if we have to wait more than a second or two for something to pull up on the computer, we go crazy. We want the shortcut to everything. And we want to have the shortcut to things in our spiritual life as well. We want to hurry up and get past the pain and get past the adversity to get to the next mountaintop. We want to get out of that valley. And so many times we're in the midst of a trial. We pray, God, remove this pain. I don't know that I can endure it. Hurry up and help me get out of this. And if God were to take that trial away, it'd be just like that moth flopping around, not prepared for what's coming next, not strengthened the way that God had intended. Listen to some of these quotes about hardships. A minister back in the early part of the 20th century, Harry Emerson Fosdick, said, "He who knows no hardships will know no hardihood. He who faces no calamity will need no courage. Mysterious though it is, the characteristics in human nature which we love best grow in a soil which is a strong mixture of troubles. And that's so true. The author C.S. Lewis, we're all familiar with C.S. Lewis, he wrote this about hardships. He said, "Hardships often prepare ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny." That's from C.S. Lewis. When hard times come our way, we've got three choices. We can let it define us. We can let it destroy us. Or we can let it develop us according to God's purpose and plan. God has a purpose in the pain. He has a design in the difficulty. There's a harvest of the hard times. And so this morning, as we look in this passage from James chapter 1, I want to bring a couple of things to your attention as we learn about the harvest that comes from the hard times. So let's read together James chapter 1, the first four verses. "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Let's pray. Lord, as we seek to learn from your word this morning about the harvest of the hard times, speak to our hearts. Father, hide me behind the cross in Jesus' name. Amen. None of us look forward to trials. None of us look forward to difficulties. No sane person looks forward to hard times. Nobody with any common sense walks around saying, "Oh boy, I can't wait till life kicks me in the teeth again." You'd be insane to think that. But without those hard times, we'd never enjoy the sweet fruit of maturity that it brings. And God has purpose for our life. Billy Graham, Reverend Billy Graham, once said this, "Mountaintops are for views and inspiration, but fruit is only grown in the valleys." We're all familiar with Romans 8, verse 28, which says it, and we know that in all things God works together for good, for those that love Him and have been called according to His purpose. Sometimes as we're getting slammed against the rocks, we wonder, is that verse still there? We look, is that verse still there? Did I misread it? It's still there. Isaiah 40 and verse 8 says, "The grass withers and the flowers fail, but the word of the Lord stands forever." So it's still there. We didn't misread it. It means what it says. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. It says all things. That means even the hard times. Even in the hard times, there's a harvest. So there are a couple of things that James wants the reader to know about the hard times in this passage. I think the first thing that we need to know, we need to have the proper attitude. We need to have the proper attitude when the hard times come. In verse 2 it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds." The proper attitude that you and I should have when we face those trials, when we face those hard times, is pure joy. Now, that's difficult. That's difficult. It's not to be partial joy and partial despair. Pure joy. There are very few things in this world that are pure. There are very few things that are 100% pure. Ivory soap says it's a pure soap. It's 99 and 44 one-hundredths. Ronnie Millsap had a song about 99 and 44 one-hundredths% pure love based off ivory soap. But that's not 100% pure. Even pure gold, 24 karat gold, is supposed to be pure gold. It's not 100% pure. It's 99.9%. There's still some little bit of contamination in it. That definition of the word pure from the dictionary says wholesome and untainted, not mixed with anything else. But James says, consider it pure joy when you face these various trials. And it seems unnatural for us to have that attitude of pure joy when we're getting slammed against the rocks and kicked in the teeth. Life has a way of doing that often for us. Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 5 and verse 3, "We also rejoice in our suffering." Some of the same line of thinking there that James is writing. Rejoice in suffering. Consider it pure joy, James writes, when you get kicked in the teeth. And that seems foreign to us to have that 100% pure joy and rejoice in our suffering. But it's a biblical command to have that proper attitude. Consider it pure joy. It's a biblical command. We need to have the attitude of Christ and think about what all He endured for us. Listen to Philippians 2 and verse 5 and following. "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." Jesus endured so much hardship for us, but He had that joyful attitude. He talked about His joy being full. Hebrews 12, verses 2 and 3 says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." And then it says in verse 3, "Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." We get kicked in the teeth by life and suffer those hard times. It's sometimes easy to get weary and lose heart, want to give up. But we're not to give up. We're to consider it pure joy when we get kicked in the teeth. Well, we've got to be careful what James is talking about here. He's not talking about being overjoyed and being happy with the way things are. It's a different frame of mind. We're not to have this devilish desire to be kicked in the teeth. It's not suggesting that. He's saying we're really not supposed to be enjoy being sick, but we need to be enjoying what the sickness might bring to us down the road, the hardship will bring to us. We're not to enjoy getting laid off, but look forward to the joy that we're going to have when we realize what God is trying to teach us through that. The loss of a loved one, we don't enjoy that time, but we get past it and we realize what God was showing us and what God was leading us to. And it's not some kind of weird denial that life doesn't hurt. Some of us here today are hurting. Some of our church membership is suffering. And it's not a false sense of happiness. We need to focus on the pure joy that we're to have and what God is showing us and have that proper attitude. There's a reason for the joy in the midst of trials. Finding joy in what it produces. Enjoying the harvest of the hard times because of the second thing, the powerful outcome that we can realize. It's a powerful outcome when we endure these trials and have pure joy over them. He says, consider it pure joy. Why? But he tells us there in verses 3 and 4, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you can be mature and complete, not lacking anything. It's a testing of our faith. Trials test our faith. And it's not a test to see whether or not faith is there. It's a test to see how strong that faith is. We think about back in Genesis when God told Abraham to take Isaac and put him on the altar, sacrifice his one and only son. God had promised him that it would be through Isaac that he would have the heirs. And then God tells him, take your son, your only son, and sacrifice him on the hill called Moriah. And Abraham did it. He was willing to do it. God stopped him. That was a test of the strength of his faith. Not to see whether he had faith. God knew he had the faith. But God had to show Abraham how strong his faith was through that process. And that's kind of the same way it is for us. It's a test to strengthen our faith and to show us what our faith is made of. Listen to 1 Peter 1 and verses there. Peter's talking about in those early few verses of 1 Peter chapter 1 about the rejoicing in the salvation that we'd have in the Lord. And starting in verse 7 of that chapter, he says, in this, talking about the salvation we would have, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. And then in verse 7, he says, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. The powerful outcome, the harvest of the hard times, is the strengthening of our faith and refining of our faith in the Lord. Just like a refiner's fire refines silver. We've talked about that before, the little story about the ladies' Sunday school group that was trying to figure out what Micah 3:3 meant, talking about he sits as a refiner of silver. I've told that story before. And the lady went to the silversmith in town and wanted to know what the process was of refining silver. He says, I sat there and watch it and put it in the furnace. Take it out when it's ready. She said, how do you know when it's ready? When I can see my reflection in it clearly. That's the reason we go through trials, to make us more like Jesus. We reflect his image because he grows us through those tests and those hardships. The testing that we go through leads us to the perseverance, and the perseverance that it talks about here is the Greek word for that is talking about endurance and holding up under pressure, being strengthened. Also means steadfastness. That's what it's all about. Perseverance is holding up under pressure. I read a story this week of an old dog that fell in a well, and the farmer looked at the situation and he knew the dog was old and the well was not really a good well, and he decided neither one of them were worth saving. So he got his shovel and began to shovel dirt. He thought, I'll just bury the dog and we'll seal the well up and bury the dog at the same time. So he started shoveling rocks and dirt. The dog freaked out at first as those things started pelting him on the back. And finally the dog calmed down and started, with every shovelful, he'd shake it off and step up. Wasn't too long, the dog walked out. He was battered and bruised. But every time he got pelted with the things that were coming down on him, he would shake it off and step up. That's what God wants us to do. Sometimes it's hard to do that. We get pelted and kicked in the teeth. But God intends for us to shake it off. Keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Shake it off and step up. Because God has something better in store for us down the road. Sometimes we think, well, God must think a lot of me to put me through this much trial. Well, he does think a lot of us. After all, he died for us. That's how much he thinks of us. Perseverance is the ability to shake off and step up when those loads of trials start hammering you. When things start kicking you in the teeth, that's what builds perseverance. And those trials bring the perseverance that brings the maturity of our faith, the strengthening and the maturity of our faith. The Greek word that is translated there, maturity, means lacking nothing, having reached its intended purpose, its intended end, having all the necessary parts. So I have a question for you to consider this morning. If you think about your life and you think about the most severe trial you've ever been through in your life, the most trying time in your life that you've ever had to deal with. Now, would you want to go through that same thing again? Most of us would say no. I hope I never go through that again. But when I ask you, are you grateful for the difficulty because of what it showed you? Most of us say yes. I wouldn't take anything for the lessons I learned and the growth that happened in the Lord through that process and through that trial. That's why we're to consider it pure joy. Pure joy because when the tough times come, the end result, the harvest of the hard times, it's worth it. God is growing us into the image of His Son. the perseverance and the maturity that we have is those are the things that please God, make us more like Him. The traits that God wants to develop in us. And the only way to get them is through those hard times. Through getting pelted with those rocks and dirt, shaking them off and stepping up, just like that dog. I want to end with a couple of verses. We're already in James 1. Talking about the harvest of the hard times. Look at verse 12. After all is said and done, in verse 12 it says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." There's a similar passage that Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 5. Listen to Romans 5, first five verses. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us." There's a harvest in the hard times, folks. All of us are in one of three categories today. We're either just coming out of some hard times, some storms, or we're right in the middle of it, or we're going to endure something down the road. But God is there everywhere. During it, before it happens, and after it happens. He is there. And He has a purpose for each and every trial. To grow us into the image of His Son. He controls it all. His word says His plans are to prosper us and not to harm us. Sometimes it's hard to think, why is He putting me through this? Why am I having to endure this pain? Because He's trying to teach us something that we'll use in the future. For some other encounter that we come through. Just turn your eyes upon Jesus this morning. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim. We're going to sing those words as our invitation hymn in just a minute. And if there's some need on your heart or in your life this morning, God hears. Just fix your eyes upon Him. And trust Him. Trust the process. Trust Him to know that the harvest of the hard times is there. Let's pray. Lord, the hard times are always hard. Father, we ask you, Father, to give us the strength to shake them off and step up. Each and every time we get kicked in the teeth or persecuted or under some type of trial, help us to look to you and remember that you have a purpose in the pain. There's a design in the difficulties that you let come our way. Help us to remember, Lord, that nothing comes to us that has not already passed through your hands. It's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.